I'm a guy that starts a lot of projects and then overlaps them. And eventually, 10 years later, I get back to a project and complete it. I don't know if any of you are like that or not. I'm not a single-minded guy on a particular project. I get distracted. How God does it with us, I can never understand this side of heaven. That he's working in every one of these projects here in this room all at the same time. He's not stopping his work to work a little harder on grace over there. You know, oh man, I need to focus here. You know, he is everything that we're engaged in this kingdom work on this planet, is God authored. His fingerprints are all over you. If you belong to him, you're his child. He began the good work in you. And Philippians 1:6 says he will complete that good work in you. We come to Romans 12, where we've been for a few weeks. We're going to be out of Romans 12 soon. Believe it or not. As this section unfolds, I've seen it differently this time. Thank you to a particular teacher in one of the commentaries to show this, that the Greek language there doesn't say, go and do this, Christian, but it's implied. It is little vignettes, as I've called them, of a child of God looks like this. And looks like this, and looks like this, and looks like this. He starts off the whole set there in Romans 12, saying that we are all part of one body, individual members, and you have your unique place that's different than his or hers. But it's God that is bringing all this together while he is doing that perfecting work in us. And these little pictures, these little vignettes, as if in a studio gallery, right? A Christian is like this, and looks like this, and looks like this. It's a way cool thing until you look in your mirror and I look in mine. Say, oh man, I'm a little disappointed here. I don't quite match up to that. So that's where the application comes in. Well, here is what God is doing. Here's his intent. And where you failed, he's patient and merciful. Don't give up. He's still at work. He hasn't given up on you. Thank you, Lord. We're coming to a set of verses in this little section at verse 16 that really takes on more and more practical application. Last week, we were looking at verse 14 and 15, primarily 14. Chapter 12 of Romans. The vignette begins at verse 9 and goes through 21. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and curse not. That's where we spent the time last week. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those that weep. Most of us here in this individual local body, if you've been here for any length of time, you have done this, not because God commands it, but it's part of our makeup. Rejoicing with those that rejoice, weeping with those that weep. And then it goes on. I'll read it as it's in New American Standard. Your version is going to be similar to this. Be of the same mind toward one another. And remember the vignette, the language says, this is a Christian. They're of the same mind with the one another. Wow, how am I doing, Lord? Well, I've had some failures here recently on this one. I'm going to come back and talk about what he's meaning. The fuller, maybe deeper understanding. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never taking your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I believe we can be a little bit hard on ourselves in self-evaluation. We can see the many ways. I could fake you out for a while. I can't fake me out very well. You know what I'm saying? And I know me. I know my heart. I know my failures. And I look at what God is aiming me toward. I can get disheartened if I start beating myself up. Some of us spend a long time beating ourselves up rather than walking in the forgiveness that God has given to us. And once we see that, God really has forgiven us all. It frees us to be able to breathe new air, stand up and walk, not in my own pride, but walk because I know he loves me. Be of the same mind toward one another. Cannot mean think the same thoughts. It cannot mean have the same opinion, the same perspective. It does. The wording doesn't even mean that. And good luck in trying that. Because to be real practical, if any two of us thought exactly alike, one is unnecessary. We see things different. We process things different. And that's not bad. That's okay. It's natural. Now, where we go with some of that, that's a whole other topic. Being of the same mind toward one another, it combining it with 17 and 18, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. It becomes an exercise for us. An exercise of funneling all that we think, we say, we do into harmony with one another. We're different. We're wired different. Different gifts from God. Different weaknesses. Different failures. And it's a matter of Romans. Turn back to Romans 5. You got to see this. I want to remind you. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Thank you, Lord. And if it doesn't feel like you have peace with God, the problem is on your side, not his. He doesn't see you as condemned anymore. Romans 8:1. You're a child of the living God. Romans 8:15. You are adopted, placed as a son into his family. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Into that grace in which we stand is talking about being surrounded by God, supported by God in his grace in our life activities on this side of heaven. We are functioning in that grace. So I come over to this section, be of the same mind toward one another. Boy, funneling my differences with your differences so as to have an outcome that is right. Funneling it together so there's a harmony. Right now we have a piano. When we have a pianist here, it gets played, you know that. Agatha was here teaching lessons last Tuesday and said, Dad, this piano needs some help. She said, listen to this A. Listen to it as I push these two pedals together that you need the pedals to play. And it was the most horrid sound. It was such a disharmony that even if you're tone deaf, you'd say, ooh, something's wrong with that. And she said, listen to this A. Something has gone squirrely inside there. Now, I've talked to our piano tuner, and God willing, she'd be coming soon to take care of this problem. But a lot of our life is lived like that with one another. You hit the note and wait a minute, that makes me really uncomfortable. It should make you uncomfortable because it's not right. It's not a harmony that's coming together. Now, by the grace of God, we can do this. By the grace of God, we can, verse 17, respect what is right in the sight of all men. What this really means, take thought for the other person's perspective, the other person's circumstances and background, maybe injury coming into it. Take thought for it. Allow room for it. Come back to verse 16. This of being of the same mind toward one another. This becomes that exercise of funneling things together toward harmony with one another. But it's a little stronger because that word toward, do this to the other person, is different than even just being in unity. It's a purposeful something. It is to bring somebody else's study and work from the Greek language forward. It is to mind the same thing toward one another. Word it this way. Something definite is intended. Thus having in mind for another the same thing that under the circumstances you would want for yourself. Did you follow that? Having in mind for the other person what you would want for yourself if you were in their circumstances. It's an extension of grace toward them. It really is. It's an extension of mercy, of patience. It's going to come down to the golden rule. What's the golden rule? As? How do you want them to treat you? By the way, that's in the Sermon on the Mount. That's Jesus' words. So extend that to one another. Be of the same mind toward one another. Take thought for what is right in the sight of all men. It is not saying everybody gets their way. It's not saying everybody has ideas right, opinion is right, actions are. It's not saying that. It's not a truth is relative thing. It's how can we work together on this? That's where the application comes down. So that your note and my note harmonize. My action edifies you and supports you and promotes you, while your action does the same for myself or somebody else. It really is a working together. And a person who has come to faith in Jesus, justified by faith, you've been redeemed, you're a child of God. This is his intent, to fit you into the body of Christ in a harmonizing way. This type of action means we've got to put aside some pride. We've got to put aside self-promoting and the selfish ambition that uses others as rungs in the ladder, which is quite common for humans to do. We put aside contention and grumbling and complaining. By the way, we can pull scriptures out that each one say, stop this. But I'm just kind of summarizing it here. We can set aside contention, grumble. In fact, we must. Grumbling and complaining, they're no longer part of our lives by our choice and by God's grace. Ultimately, listen carefully to this light bulb that came on in my brain this week about this. Contention, grumbling, and complaining ultimately are tools that the natural man uses to get his own way or show his displeasure. In other words, give it up. Those are not tools you need any longer. That's not God's way. Rather, that which brings harmony. And you know what over and over in the scripture says? Giving thanks. With a grateful heart, we started our morning singing that song before Sunday school this morning. Thankfulness. What are some of the things that keep us from this mind toward one another? Do not be haughty in mind. Well, there it is. Associate with the lowly. And that means the people that are maybe you're kind of a little uppity over them. Or the situations that are below you, below your dignity. I don't deal with that. I remember a contractor once that refused to clean up his mess. He said, that's not my job. That's why I hire the grunt. Not willing? I mean, yeah, if you're going to pay him to do it, great. You're not willing? It's not a contractor that succeeded, by the way. He didn't. Because it was beyond him to serve that way. You want to serve the Lord? Great. Grab a broom. Oh, that's below you? That's the sort of thing. Make room for that. Accommodate that. And those people that are the lowly ones. That's more specific here. Accommodate yourself to them. They are just as important in this work. That's what a child of God does. Oh, man. How you doing? Well, today's going okay. Yesterday wasn't so hot, maybe.
Too hot.
Playing on my words there, Patty. Another way that keeps us from this direction is at verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Retaliation. That's not a part of God character. But it's a part of natural character. And we aren't satisfied until they're squirming and screaming. Never. And then take thought for what is right in the sight of all men. Make room to try to ask the questions that explain why they feel what they feel. Why they believe what they believe. Why is their opinion such as that? Okay, right now, it's political season. Oh my goodness. I feel polluted from all of the signs out there advertising one name or above another name or measure or whatever. And I used to see trees and bushes, you know. But you know, somebody else has a pretty hard opinion against this measure of which I'm on this side. Am I going to treat them as my enemy? Or can I take the moment to say, so why is it that you see it that way? Might be a good exercise this time of year. Why is it? Now, they might be wrong. Or they might teach you something.
I guess that's grace. It
would be extending grace. It would be exactly that. It's just an opportunity right now to try to take thought for what is right in the sight of somebody else. Why is it that you feel that way about that candidate? Positive or negative? But there's so much more to our life than the politics stuff. That's just what's on the hot list right now. And I'm not advertising. Okay? That's not where I'm going whatsoever. I'm saying, as a child of God, I haven't arrived. There's plenty of proof for that. I got a ways to go. And this area is really hard. We were talking yesterday, Martha and I, on the way back. When you are always right, that will mean everybody else is wrong at some point. Some of us get the chance to see, I'm not always right. And the wise among us might admit it. Oh, that was a little squirrely there. In fact, that was really wrong there. That's that's an opportunity of harmonizing. But if I'm always right, I will never want to hear your perspective because I already know straight out the gate, you're wrong. Child of God, God wants you to be in harmony with one another. What a beautiful thought. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. On the one hand, you've got the willingness to look through the eyes of another, figuring in their circumstances, their background, simply their perspective into the equation to give them a fair chance to be heard. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. If there are problems, disharmonies, contentions, don't let the fault be laid at your feet. As much as you can do from your side, because you can never make somebody be at peace with you. You can't do it. If they don't want to, the more you do it, the more it's going to put them in their solid position. As much as is possible with you, you be at peace with all men. If there's problems, my statement is, don't let the fault be thrown at your feet. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect. Take thought for what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. When somebody has a varying opinion, from whatever angle, I don't care, are you able to talk about it sensibly without getting heated? Some are hot buttons, man. They're going to heat you up. Are you able to put it on the table as, well, this is my opinion. I disagree with you, and here's the reason about your opinion. And still love the other person. Something that I promote a lot, I learned from a pastor down in Modesto a long time ago. He said, in our board meetings, and he was teaching a bunch of us pastors, in our board meetings, there's times where a board member, elder, deacon, whatever, says this. Guy across the table starts attacking him because he doesn't agree. By the way, this is a great way, a great thing for the workplace. And this pastor would stop them, said, wait a minute, let's go through a little exercise here. This is my idea. This hand up in the air represents my idea. This is me. If you don't like my idea, attack my idea, but leave me alone. So you're not attacking the person's heart, their character, but rather the differing opinion. And they might be very wrong with that. There's room for that. Like I've been very wrong at times. And so all Bill Yeager would have to do is guys would start at the table. He says, wait a minute, wait a minute. He just raises his hand up and point to his hand. Calms everybody down. So there's a place to disagree. But if we can focus on the disagreement rather than start attacking one another, that's where we get into serious trouble. The character attacks, the character assassination happens, and we are not promoting harmony. We are doing the exact opposite. There's nothing but static at the very least. And this is a passage that says, look what God is doing in these Christians. How's the work going on in you? I have to ask that for me. I do. And I want to. Okay, I'm not going to take the next few verses till next time. So let's stop and just chat about this for a little bit. And I don't want to hear anything about a political candidate. Ron, go ahead.
It's just looking at these verses 16, 17, and 18, Most of them are proactive.
Exactly.
You need to get involved, you know. It's not just responding, it's we need to be out there purposefully being involved.
Spot on. By the way, Ron, I agree with you. Which means you got a good heart. No, I'm kidding. It's right. Go ahead, somebody. Yeah, Mark.
I'm just somebody who loves music. I just do, and the idea of harmony and music speaks to me. And in good harmony, sometimes you have to have a discord. But you don't stay there. You don't stay in the discord. You have the resolution, and that's when everybody like breathes. And I think that's like God's grace. We are but humans. We're going to have a little bit of discord in our harmony, but it's not to be wasted. I don't think God wastes anything like that if we allow His grace to resolve that chord, and we can go on just with that beautiful music in our heads.
Exactly. That's a beautiful way to look. I played some discorded chords this morning on purpose. If I miss a note, that's a whole other topic there. But they work. They work. And we can't see it because it's a discordance. Ah! Oh, look what God did. And He resolves it.
If you stay there, then it becomes a thing. But if you resolve and go past it and keep going, you think, oh, that was just so beautiful.
Great perspective. Thank you very much. Laurel?
I like what you said about his hand, and I was wondering, I wonder if that's where that saying came from. Talk to the hand, talk to the hand.
Yeah. It, if somebody understands that image, and just point to the hand. Okay. Leave me out of it. Good. It's helped me over the years. It really has. I haven't always been successful, but it helps. Oh, yeah, that's right. Good. Anybody else? Grace, you had?
Oh, I was just going to say, off of what he said, if you want to get involved, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. no one's above it. Clean the church.
Thank you. It gets done. It needs to be done. Yeah, Patty, go ahead.
A couple summers ago, Angela's family, they try and come out each summer, and they brought two foreign exchange, one from Africa and one from China. And the lesson that we all learned is Sadie, it was a friend of Sadie's in college in Wyoming, and they would have been in their dorm all summer, so she felt compassion and invited them out. So we had a schedule, we had chores. And one, we rotated, but everybody had to clean a toilet in a bathroom. And the young man that, he played the wonderful piano. Mm-hmm. He was a pianist. And Sadie gives him the gloves, she gives him the bucket, and he's like, I can't do this. And Sadie says, oh yeah, you are. And so by the end of the summer, he called his mother and he said, who cleans our toilets? He thought it was a maid. It was his mother. And he actually thanked her. He had no clue. He was clueless. But it made an impression on me, like, yeah, you give him that bucket, you give him those gloves, girl.
Very nice. Yeah. Bev, you had something?
Yeah, something I read a while ago that really kind of stuck in my head is, in learning, we can't learn something new until we recognize we're wrong. And if we can never admit we're wrong, we can't learn anything.
That's good.
That's good.
Thank you.
And it doesn't give the Lord permission to change us.
Mm-hmm. He's got His plan, and we need to cooperate with that changing. Yeah.
Dan, for a number of reasons, I've been experiencing a range of emotions over the last several days, week. All of these involve other people. And I think if I am honest with myself and if we're honest with one another, there are some things here where we can say, yes, I've experienced a positive side of that, mm-hmm. and it has had an effect on other people. But I also have to admit that I am certainly on the negative side of some of this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain degree, a sense in which it's painful to hear some of this. I've been on that other side.
Yeah.
I've been the victim of people on the other side. It's not all one-sided. And there are certain passages of scripture that, for me, they become foundational.
Mm-hmm.
I think of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from sin. And the sense of that, it's perpetual. It's not a one-time washing. It's the next time. And it continues. If that is not occurring, I'm lost.
We're lost.
In Philippians, Paul says, he who began a good work in you continues to perform that good work until the day of the Lord Jesus. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end, and God is doing it. And if he's not doing it, Lord, have mercy on me. And there's lots more that you said. Yeah.
Oftentimes in our times of gathering together, Sunday morning or whenever, and there's teachings and there's comments made, and there's questions asked, it often strikes a chord in the heart. That's for me. The reminders of the past are one thing, and God has a way for grace to happen there, for sure. And the application is, but what about the future? I live with pain. You live with pain. Life is not fair. Life is unjust, but God won't waste the pain. On the other side, it's not going to be fair because I don't deserve to be there, and he's given it to me. That's his grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. I'll be there with him. On this side, letting it go in the name of forgiveness, letting it go in the name of extending grace is his solution to us, rather than fleeing, fighting, floundering. But it's part of this harmony. Now, some people that I would be contentious with, or they with me, are not part of my circle here. They've been there in the past, and I remember. Let's bring it forward to who we are with now in these circles, and that harmony that he wants here and now. This has nothing to do with anything goes. There's the place for confrontation. There's a place for repentance, etc. But we're in this together, harmonizing. You're a note, I'm a note. Let's get it together. So I don't know how that falls with all you've said, Dave. I know some of that you're talking about. But all of us here have got stuff. And God wants to do something with that to make us more like the character of his son, Jesus. That's just his reality. And I'm glad. Thank you for those of you that have extended forgiveness to me over these years. Truly. And may that be our way of life. While we're walking together, sharpening iron, right? Proverbs 27:17 describes it. You're going to be abrasive. I'm going to be abrasive. It happens. In order that there's more smoothness and harmony going toward him. Anyway. Go ahead, Charlie.
Since you brought up politics. I would ask that we would pray that God would raise up people who are honest, truthful, upright, bright, to go into politics, who have the character to withstand all the mudslinging and let it fall off and not retaliate. I would just ask for a prayer for God to raise up people that would be willing to stand in those places and do the right thing.
I agree. I agree.
And on that note, my prayer for politics has been that they could put their heads together and come up with solutions like
for everyone, not just themselves.
We're talking the God of miracles. Go ahead, Dave. A little bit more, and then we're going to close out.
Yeah, Dan. When the Ephesian church made a left turn and became a very weak church, and we have that short letter in Revelation 3, they are told that at least a partial solution to their problem is remember from where they've fallen, remember their first love.
And return.
Yep. And there's something about the memory and keeping track of both the pros and the cons, the good and the bad. It's healthy for us. Mm. We need to have that. And I turn to the 136th Psalm. And I'm not going to read the entirety of the psalm. It's very, very repetitious. Every single verse in the King James Version ends, "For his mercy endures forever." In our New American Standard, it's his loving kindness that endures forever. Every single verse, "Give thanks to the Lord of hosts."
His mercy endures forever.
"To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures." And it's good for us to review, to remember the stuff, the good and the bad. It can become our anchor in our relationship to the God that we say we worship, that we say we love. It can spur us on to do that which is right.
Thank you, Lord God, that we do have an anchor point. We have a firm standing. And as Romans 5:2 indicates, Lord God, by faith we've gained that entrance into that grace in which we stand. You are a merciful God, a wonderful God, full of grace and mercy. Thank you that Jesus has won the peace with God through your blood, Jesus. Thank you. Father, help us to bring that peace and apply it in the one another setting. Truly, Lord, in this season right now that we're in, politically, I get overwhelmed, Lord God, with being disheartened so very often. And as Trouty has pointed out, Lord, we need people. And we ask, we appeal to you for integrity to start coming forth. Give us wisdom, Lord, on who's going to show that and act on that. We need your help, Lord. We're called on now to vote. And later on in the year again, we as a nation need your help. We as a county and as a people and as an individual called on to choose, we need your help. Lord, all of us have lived through choices that we have made that we were so sorry about. we the people have made. It's hard. Yet, Father, we believe that you are actively involved. Lord, coming soon to Romans 13, I take a lot of heart, Lord, in the fact that you are above all governments. You are above them all, and you set them up and you take them down when it's time. And for your reasons, we appeal to you as the God of that authority and over the smaller authority, and ask, Lord God, for your work, for your way, for your will, and truly, as our sister has worded it, Lord, that you would raise up people that would be not just self-consumed and self-promoting, but would care about serving like they're claiming to do. Help, Lord. And I trust you. I trust that when bad things are happening, you are still at work with good. As bad people have come, like these millennia, into places of authority, you have still brought good and done good. Help us on a firm standing of trusting you and you alone, and then approach the human things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the way that you were working and whatever you wanted to accomplish this morning. We pray for your Holy Spirit to have full ability and reign in our life to do that, so that, Lord God, we go a little further down that path, that discipleship walk. We want to grow in Christ. We've sung about that. Well, Lord, we want to know you more. Deep within our soul, Lord, we get distracted by so many little things. Yet at the same time, Lord, we want to know you more. So take us further. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.